Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We bless your name. Thank you that you're the one who gives us a reason to sing, who gives us a cause to rejoice. You're the one who holds up our heads up through the changing scenes of life. And you are the one who gives us a sense of purpose and direction for our lives. And this morning, we are ready to hear from you. Thank you for all the times that you've spoken to us. Thank you that today will be no exception. Bless all of us through your word today. Grant us knowledge, grant us understanding, cause us to know you better, and let our relationship with you be stronger. In Jesus' mighty name, I commit myself into your hands. Speak through me. In the matchless name of Jesus have I prayed with thanksgiving. Let everybody say amen. Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord, everybody. God bless you, and you may be seated. Well, this morning, I want to continue with the message I started sharing with you last Sunday, which was Mother's Day. I shared with you how a mother can change the destiny of a child. So last Sunday's message was the first part, and I want to share the part two with you. Is that all right with you? Or you think that we finished with Mother's Day, so we should move on to something else? All right. I like to tie up things. I don't like to leave any loose ends. All right. And I think that there were some important things that I couldn't get into last Sunday, which I must focus on today, and I believe that God is going to bless us. Last Sunday, we focused primarily on 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 28. But I want to add a couple other scriptures to it. And would you please turn your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 2, reading from verse number 1. Exodus chapter 2 and reading verse 1. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, please. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what will be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, this is Moses' sister. I'm sure by now you figured out that is a story concerning the birth of Moses. "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take the child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Second scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Paul was writing to Timothy, who was one of his sons in the ministry. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. And these are supporting scriptures that I want you to add to the main scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 28. I explained to you last Sunday that one of the greatest destiny-shaping influences that God has placed on earth is a mother. Hallelujah. And God has given mothers a certain unique ability to impact the future and the destiny of their children, either for good or for bad. Amen. Remember that we are talking about how a mother can change the destiny or the future of a child. And I'm trying to get you to appreciate the fact that mothers have a certain powerful ability that God has placed inside of them to impact the destiny and the future of a child, whether it is their own child or a child who has been left in their care. Now, you are not just a mother because you have a biological child, but sometimes other people entrust their children to you and you are supposed to mother them. Amen. Now, when you read through scripture and then you also study everyday life, you will actually discover examples of men and women whose lives were profoundly shaped by a mother's influence, a mother's decision, and a mother's character. There are many examples, and I gave you some examples last Sunday from our contemporary world. I mentioned names like Abraham Lincoln. I mentioned John and Charles Wesley. I mentioned Albert Einstein. And then I mentioned a couple of other people. And biblically, we have so many different people we can talk about. We talked about Moses. We talked about Samuel. We talked about Timothy. We talked even about Jesus. And we explained that all of these people who turned out a certain way, one of the major reasons why they turned out so well was because of a mother's impact and a mother's influence. Hallelujah. And then we focused on Hannah. We realized that her faith, her devotion, and her choices helped to raise Samuel, that great prophet. And from her story, as well as the story of other mothers we have in the Bible, we want to understand how a mother can actually influence the destiny of a child. Now, before I go on any further, let me just state a caveat, you know, so that nobody can take me on later on. It is not as though it is only mothers who influence the destiny of a child. All right? So don't make a mistake because of what we are talking about to conclude that mothers are the only ones who can influence the future of their children. Fathers also have a major role to play. Amen? Fathers have a major role to play. Then another caveat that I want to state is that it is not only parental influence that shapes the destiny of a child. There are other things also. For example, there's the sovereignty of God. And then there's also that child's own personal choices. All of these things work together to influence the destiny or the future of any child. But the truth still stands that a mother has a great influence on how a child turns out. But I thought that I should sound this caveat so that you can understand things in the right perspective. So we started looking at how a mother can change the destiny of a child. What's the first one we talked about? You can check from your notes. What's the first thing we talked about? A mother's prayer can change the course of a child's life. Amen. And we saw how Hannah, before Samuel was born, prayed for him. Prayed that God will give her a child. And she prayed and said that that child I'm going to give back to you. It was a prayer that she prayed before Samuel was born. And a lesson you can learn from it, if you are yet to be a mother, is that you should pray for that unborn child. Amen. If you're believing God to have your own child, even before you marry, and even before you have the child, pray for that child. Because we have the example of Hannah to learn from. Hallelujah. But after you've had the child, please pray for the child and pray for all your children. Can I have an amen from mothers? Pray for them, oh. Pray for them. Do not just give them education. Education is good. Don't just buy nice stuff for them. It's good to provide the things that your children need in order to have a good and a comfortable life. Apart from doing all those things, make sure that you pray for your children. When you are cooking, pray for them. When you are washing, pray for them. Lay hands on them when they are asleep and pray for them and commit them into God's hands, that God's plan and purposes for their lives will come to pass. So pray for your children. Pray concerning their future. Pray concerning their academic performance. Pray concerning their friends. Pray concerning their spiritual life. Pray concerning even the person that he or she will marry. Pray for that child. Because through your prayer, you can actually influence the course of the child's life. Hallelujah. Then what's the second thing a mother can do to change the destiny of a child? The words that you speak over the child's life can define that child's future. And we quoted the famous scripture in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of a tongue, and they that love it shall eat of the fruit thereof. Before Samuel was born, Hannah spoke certain words concerning him. And in the prayer that she prayed, she said, "This child, if you give me this child, he will be yours for his entire lifetime." And those words that she spoke came to pass. And Samuel became a servant of the Lord, arguably the greatest prophet that the nation of Israel ever had. Arguably. I'm sure that some of you stay Elijah, Elisha, and all of those things. I'm the one who has the microphone. I'm saying that arguably the greatest prophet is Samuel. And I say so because Samuel, he started the prophetic thing when he was a little child. And he just served the Lord all the days of his life. Somebody like Elisha, he came much later in the day. He was a farmer taking care of cows. Do you see? So as far as I'm concerned, Samuel is the greatest. Okay, John the Baptist is the greatest. It's all right. Let's just settle this argument with what Jesus himself said. Hey, people are arguing with me in their heads. But some cry soon. Now, I tried to explain to you last Sunday that your words, the words that you speak concerning your child are very powerful. If you speak positively concerning that child, it will impact his life positively. If you speak negatively concerning that child, it will impact his life negatively. And there are people who grow up having wounds, carrying wounds that were inflicted by the words that were spoken concerning them. There are parents who have looked at their children and said, "You will never do well. You'll be useless. You'll be a failure." One parent told his daughter that you will never reach the age of 20. So by the grace of God, when she turned 20, somebody organized a party for her. I mean, can you imagine that your own father is telling you, you will never reach the age of 20? And I want to say to parents that in your anger and in your unhappiness, please be very, very careful what you say about that child. Because you can affect that child's life and destiny because of the things that the child said. So especially in the heat of emotion, control yourself. Look for the nearest person around you. Tell the person, if you have your child, control yourself when you are angry. In fact, one of the decisions you should take as a parent is that when I am very angry, I won't talk. Because the things that you say concerning that child can become a mental prison for the child all the days of his life, all the days of her life. So be very choosy, be very picky, be very selective about what you say concerning the child. Don't tell the child, "Hey, Jim, that's Papa." Why would you look at a child and say that you are as foolish as your father? Why would you say something like that? And there are some of us, we are used to insults. It doesn't take long, no, we are insulting. And there are some tribes that are noted for that thing. Please, be very, very careful. As the person sitting by you, is the pastor talking about your tribe? So speak a good destiny for your child. Speak progress for your child. Speak favor over your child. Speak blessings over the child. Speak and say that my child will do well. My child will succeed. My child will make it. My child will prosper. My child will flourish. My child will attain greatness. Speak positive things about the child. Fantastic. And you know, right now, I think that I want to lead us to pray just for a minute or two. I mean, especially if you're a parent and you know deep inside you that sometimes in your anger with your child, you have said certain things about that child. I want you to cancel and nullify every negative thing that you've ever said over your child. Said the child is useless. Said the child is disorganized. Said the child doesn't have sense. I want you to pray and cancel it. The Bible says that whatever we bind here on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever we loose here on earth is loosed in heaven. Alright? Now when you bind, what you are actually doing is that you are releasing some restraints. Alright, and you are placing certain impediments. And I want you to pray today that anything that you said over your child that is an impediment in the child's life, God should have mercy on you. God should forgive you for saying those things. And I want you to reverse every negative thing that you said over the child. Just pray for yourself, ask for mercy, and pray for your child, and cancel every negative thing that you said over the child's life. Just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Nullify and cancel every evil declaration. Replace them with blessings. Replace them with favor. Replace them with wisdom. Replace them with divine purpose in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak and declare that there shall be an annulment of every bad thing that you said over your child. And if you are here and your parents said some negative things about you, you also have the power to bind things and to lose them. So pray right now and cancel everything that was said about you, against you, that has affected you as you move through life. Pray and cancel it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that our children shall fulfill their glorious destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, have we prayed. And let the people of God say, amen. Hallelujah. The third thing that can help a mother to influence the destiny of a child is a mother's sacrifice. A mother's sacrifice can protect and secure the child's future. A mother's sacrifice can protect and secure a child's future. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. New Living Translation, please. And she, that is Hannah, made this vow. O Lord of heaven's armies, or O Lord of hosts, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he's been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Now jump to verse 27 and 28. Later on, when Samuel was born, Hannah took him to the temple and presented him to Eli. And this is what she said. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted me my request. Verse 28. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshipped the Lord there. Amen. This is sacrifice. What Hannah did was to sacrifice the very thing that she asked God for. She wanted a child. But in her prayer for the child, she committed to making an awesome sacrifice by giving the child to the Lord, and said all the days of his life, he will belong to you. That's a great sacrifice. I read to you the story of Moses when he was born. You see, at the time that Moses was born, an instruction had been given by Pharaoh that all the male children born to the Hebrews was to be killed. If it's a boy, kill the boy. That was the instruction given to the midwives. If it's a girl child, let her live. And it was an attempt to prevent the people of Israel from flourishing, because he understood very clearly that it takes the males to provide the seed for a child to be born. So if we want to prevent the nation, the people of Israel, from flourishing and multiplying even further, he wanted to make sure that no male child survives. Now, when a king gives an instruction like that, it's a very serious instruction. When Moses' mother gave birth and saw that the child was a boy, she took a major risk. Because you live in a country, an instruction has been given. So you have to follow the instruction and give up the child to be killed. She took a major risk and put her life on the line for the sake of the child. Can you imagine what would have happened to Jochebed, Moses' mother, if they had caught her? Because after she gave birth to the child, she kept the child for some time. And it got to a point she realized that, Charlie, the child, I can't keep him any longer. But if they had caught her, she would have lost her life. Because you defied the instructions of the king. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes for your child to become what God wants him or her to become, you will have to make a lot of sacrifices. Actually, I think that motherhood is about sacrifice. And there are many children who have turned out well and have ended up with a great destiny because of the sacrifices of their mothers. Mothers sacrifice sleep, sacrifice comfort, sacrifice opportunities, sacrifice their own dreams. I'm sure that there are fathers who are saying that, what about us? Yeah, fathers also make sacrifices, but I think that the mothers make a lot more sacrifice. And if you want to influence the destiny of your child, there are sacrifices that you have to make. If you are a selfish, self-centered mother, your child will not turn out well. Because motherhood comes with a lot of sacrifices. There are some mothers, after they're born, no, they just dump the child somewhere and go back to work. It's like, my profession cannot suffer because of this child. There are mothers who do that. So they find a nanny. Look, there are some mothers who are just incubators. Their role is that you just born the child. The rest of it, they leave it to a nanny. They leave it to their grandmother. They leave it to their mother. They leave it to an auntie and all of that. God did not give you that child for somebody else to raise that child. Of course, in life, there are circumstances that may come up that may cause such a situation to happen. But there are some mothers who deliberately, somebody say deliberate. They just born the child and they just hand the child over to somebody and away, bus, they are gone. But I'll tell you this, that many children who have turned out well, one of the reasons is because of the sacrifices of their mothers. Nyami, I'm sure you know that your mother has made a lot of sacrifices for you. Yeah. A lot of sacrifices. I'm sure you've heard me say before how my father died very early. When my father died, I was about 10 years old. He died at the age of 54. So when I turned 54, I was very emotional. Yeah, because I remember that was the age my father died at. Now, when he passed, things were not very easy in the house. And I can remember the sacrifices of my mother. My elder sister had a child. My mother had to quit her job to be able to come home to take care of that child. I can remember days when she's leaving the house and there's something hiding under her cloth. It's her jewelry. Her cloth. Where is she sending them to? Going to sell them so that she can raise some money to be able to take care of us. My mother. So she was very special to me. And I just thank God that God gave me the opportunity to honor her as much as I could before she died. That she made a lot of sacrifices. A lot of sacrifices. Sometimes you see mothers who look very wretched. It's not like they don't know nice things, though. It's not like they don't know nice things. But the child's fees must be paid. There is a bill that must be sorted out so that the child will have a comfortable life. You know the song, Sweet Mother, I no go forget to you. There's a line that says that instead of my child being sick and dying, let me be the one to be sick. If you are not a real mother, you can't sing a song like that. I'm explaining something to you. That there are sacrifices that sometimes, many times you have to make for your child to turn out a certain way. If you're not ready to make those sacrifices, then do not expect to see a great future and destiny for that child. Can I have an amen from somebody? Amen. Number four. How can a mother change the destiny, affect the destiny, influence the destiny of a child? By training the child well. A mother's training can determine a child's future. Say amen. Amen. A mother's training can determine a child's future. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 22. 1 Samuel 1:22. It was time to go to the temple to offer sacrifices and all of that. Bible says, but Hannah did not go. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned. Everybody say wean. Alright. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. So, she tells her husband that I can't go with you this time because I have work to do. And the work that I have to do is I have to wean the child. Now, weaning is the process of helping a child move from dependence on breast milk to other regular food. That's basically what weaning is. But I'll have you understand that weaning goes hand in hand with nurturing and training the child. Because when you have a little child, you are not only interested in the child going off breast milk. That's not the only thing you are interested in. But you want the child to become independent. To be able to take care of certain things. Like what? Bathing. Any idea? Eat on their own. It's not like they feel like we will, you know. Or they feel like doing the other one everywhere. No, it's not like, you see, when you are a child, it's okay. We can accommodate a lot of those things. Sometimes the babies, they'll just embarrass you. There are people all around, they better take. Oh. Yeah. But that's a child. But you see, as the child is growing, you are anxiously looking forward to the time where the child is trained. It's responsible. I think that one of the great joys of a mother is to see that you are there. No, then the child will, before you realize, the child is going to the bathroom. So what is the child going to do? He is going to either pull his chamber pot. Do people still use chamber pots? Okay. He's going to pull his chamber pot or going to the bathroom and he's sitting on the toilet bowl. And it's like, wow! Because you are trying to teach the child. It's part of the nurturing. It's part of the training. And it's important because you are looking for the growth and the development of the child. And I want you to understand that training a child is very key to the future and to the destiny of that child. And Hannah told her husband, I must wean this child. I must nurture him. I must train him well. And she did a good job. If she hadn't done a good job, she would have been in the house. No, Eli will come with the boy and say, Abufran Osundudu. If she hadn't trained somewhere well, every time in the temple, Eli will be there here. Ma. Moko ma ho. He would have been frustrated. Hannah would have been in the house and said, Mommy, collect your child. Collect your child. I can't handle this problem anymore. But the boy, was a good boy. That's why he was not retained. And good boys, they don't just happen. It takes a lot of training. And mothers and parents, we must train our children well. And bringing up a child must be an intentional thing. It's not an accident. There are some of us parents, we leave the training of our children to social media, to the internet, to cartoons, to teachers, and to their friends. So why are you surprised at the way the child has turned out? You must be very intentional and focused in bringing up the child. You see that I read a scripture to you from 2 Timothy chapter 1, talking about Timothy. Look at what the Bible says there. And even before that, Proverbs 22 verse 6. It says, Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That means that if the child is going to continue on a certain path and stay resolute and focused on that path, it's going to take specific intentional training. Hallelujah. So let's look at what Paul said concerning Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3 to 5, New King James Version. He says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. We read the scripture earlier. As my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. Now look at the next thing he says. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Where did that faith come from? He explains. Which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. What is Paul saying here? That I can see something in you, Timothy. And that thing that is in you, it has been placed in you. You have been imparted by the faith of your mother and the faith of your grandmother. They were women of faith, and I can see that same faith in you. That faith was not just transmitted by osmosis. It was through intentional, deliberate training that he was brought up in a certain way. Look at another thing that he said about him in chapter 3 and verse 15 of the same 2 Timothy, New Living Translation, 2 Timothy 3, 15. He says, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from when? From infant, from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes from trusting in Christ Jesus. Ochede, when he was a child, his parents, and we don't know much about his father. We hear about his mother and his grandmother. So if the boy was taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, it means that as part of his training and upbringing, his grandmother and his mother ensured that he knew the Scriptures and he understood the Scriptures. And I'm pointing out to you that it was not incidental or accidental. It was deliberate and it was intentional. It is training. You got to train the child in a certain way for the child to turn out well. Hallelujah. And let me also say this to you as I end this point, that you know, parents, your children, they learn a lot, or our children, let me add myself, our children, they learn a lot from what we say and what we do. Now, you may preach all kinds of messages to the children, but if what you preach is not reflected by what you say and by what you do, they will never do well. So be careful what you say to the children. We've already talked about a bit of that, but I'm just trying to tell you that be conscious of the sort of things you say. Because they are not just listening to what you say, But they are also watching what you do. So when you are angry, the way you manifest, they can see. When you are angry with their father, the way you manifest, they can see. And vice versa. So we got to be very careful. As we are talking about training the children, we have to be very careful what we say and what we do. When we are angry, when we are emotional, how we react, how we respond, the children are watching. One daughter walked into her mother's room. This is somebody who is 20 something years old. And this is what she said to the mother. Mom, I know that you are not happy. And I know that daddy doesn't make you happy. Said we can see it. And you know what she told the mother? Said, mother, if you want to leave daddy, we will understand. And she told her mother that one of the things that I have determined that I will never do is marry somebody like her father. They are not blind, though. They are not blind. They see things and they hear things. So that's what I'm saying, that don't just manifest. Don't just talk. Don't just do things. Don't just be reactionary. Don't just be impulsive. Don't just exhibit knee-jerk reactions to things. Control yourself. Because I tell you, you are teaching the children something. They are watching how you serve God. They are watching. So they are watching you. How? Sometimes you are committed. Sometimes you are not committed. Sometimes you give. Sometimes you don't give. They are watching it. They are watching how, when you are not happy with the pastor, how you manifest. They are watching all of that. They are watching who? Yes. Yeah. The things you say, they are listening. The things you say about their father to them, they are listening. And the children, they don't forget things easily. They don't forget things. How you treat the things of God, how you handle the work of God and all of that, they are watching. Because some of us, by our attitude, they can see that church is not important. That church is something that you attend to when you are in a good mood or when everything is okay. They can see that when you are not well, you still go to work. But when you are not well, you can't come to church. They can see. They can see how much money you spend on yourself, how much money you spend on doing all these other things. But then when it comes to church, so as we are doing fundraising, they are watching you. I say, hey babe, your mother didn't go for 5,000. She didn't go for 2,000. She didn't go for 1,000. She didn't go for 500. When they mentioned 20 CDs, now, well, sorry. Or cut the envelope for 20 CDs. The child is saying in the head that the things of God are not important. Yes, it's better to spend on myself than to invest in the kingdom of God. I said, the children, they watch. They watch. That's why I'm saying, be deliberate and intentional about how you train the child and how you bring up the child. And we should thank our parents. Oh, thank your parents. Maybe your parents were not the best parents, but you know, there are some things that they taught you. One person was telling me that when she was growing up as a girl, this is how she used to walk. Her mother would call her and say, "Hey, Eraba Nanto them. Eraba and Nanto them. A lady doesn't. How can a lady? You are walking. You're just throwing your legs all over the place like that." Thankfully, she yielded to the training of the world. And you see how she walks now. If it wasn't for your mother. Beautiful girl. It's one and two. Don't work like that. Sometimes little things, but they've helped to shape you. They've helped to form you, and they've affected your destiny. So mothers, I'm saying to you, train your children properly. Train them well. And don't forget this thing that I've said to you today, that they learn a lot and pick a lot from what you say and from what you do. And sometimes they learn more from what you do than what you say, because they can say that what you are saying, it is saying keke. You don't mean it. That's why some parents are amazed at how rebellious their children are. Because you said one thing and you were doing something completely different. And that's why they don't listen to us sometimes. Last one. Have you been blessed? Yes. Are you glad that I finished the series?
Yes.
As we do another one next week. Then the last one. How can a mother influence the destiny of a child? A mother must release her child into divine destiny. A mother must release the child into divine destiny. That's one of the ways you can influence them. Release them. And I think that this is one of the hardest parts of motherhood. You know, the prayer that Hannah prayed for Samuel. Again, 1 Samuel 1:27 to 28. "I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." You know, so now what Hannah did was that she released the child into that special destiny that God had prepared for him. Parents and mothers, your child does not belong to you permanently. Oh yes. Your child belongs to the Lord. Get this, oh. You are just a steward. You have just been entrusted with that child for a reason. But that child belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to you. Which is something that a lot of us parents don't get. And because we don't get it, we are very controlling and we are very domineering. We dominate the children. And sometimes we force them into things that they don't really want to do, or things that are contrary to what God has purposed for them. You see, if you understand that your child belongs to God, you must be interested in ensuring that you help that child discover God's will, God's purpose, and God's choices, and God's calling for that child's life. You must be interested in that. And I want to say that not every child will become what you want the child to become. Sometimes you are forcing too much. And before you realize, you've destroyed the child's life. You need to be sensitive to things. You see, when you have a child there, look at the child. Study the child. Be observant. Notice the things about the child. If you watch carefully, you realize that the child is skewed more towards this than towards that. You there, your dream is that my child has to be a doctor. He'll become a doctor and will be killing people's children. Some of the most discontented people in this world are people who were forced into professions that they did not want to pursue. The fact that that your child is intelligent does not mean that your child has to become an electrical engineer. You need to look at the child. Look at the child. I mean, naturally, as a parent, you always want to aim highest. It's natural. I don't fault you for it. But you see, if you are a child of God, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, don't just look at things from such a myopic perspective. Look at the child and be observant of certain strengths, certain traits with the child. As you are forcing the child to become a doctor when the child is supposed to become a hairstylist.
You see the way people, who was the one who said, oh?
Why would you say, oh? Yeah. You see? Sometimes you think that when people have certain professions, that's when they will have a lot of money. And all. It's not true. It's not true at all. There are people who have prospered not by what they went to learn at school. That's not how they prospered. A lot of people who have prospered, they found what gives them joy and fulfillment, and they pursued it. And that is what has brought them the visibility and the prosperity that you are jealous of. Look at this story of this gentleman who died recently and is making the news, some Charles Emisa or something, something guy. That guy should not have died. It was a hit and run situation. When he was rushed to the hospital, every hospital that he was rushed to, they said no bed. The doctors who were on duty, and most of them were women. You'd have thought that if it's a woman, odonya abade, compassion and all of that. Even to come and see the guy who is struggling in the ambulance and do some first aid or something. It's like, take him to the other hospital. Take him to the other hospital. At the end of the day, the guy died from something he shouldn't have died from. A doctor is supposed to have compassion. It's part of the oath that they swear. And even nurses. So a lot of these doctors and nurses that you go and meet in the hospital who have bad attitudes and stinking attitudes, a lot of them, they were forced to do things that they didn't really want to do. Am I correct? Hey. If Uncle Carlos says I'm correct, then I'm very, 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 very correct. Yeah, people are forced to do things that they don't want to do. And he may get all the top grades, so. But look, you see, your life's work and your profession, eh? For you to be able to sustain it year after year, there should be a certain passion. There's a certain inner satisfaction and contentment that accompanies that thing when you are doing it. When that thing is not there, everything becomes a burden. So as you are sitting in the consulting room, when you see the patient, no, wala we weigh food down. Yes, yes, yes. Where is your card? Where is your card? Somebody is dying. Asking the person, where is your card? Where is your card? What does card have to do with saving somebody's life? Fix him. Yeah. So it's like that person is your next victim. Before you realize the person is gone. And it's not just limited to the medical profession and all of that. All of us, whatever we are doing. And some of us, where we have reached, we can't really go back. I mean, I can tell you. I can tell you that. For me, I found my life's work when I became a pastor. I mean, nothing gives me as much satisfaction and fulfillment than what I do as a pastor. Of course, it comes with a lot of challenges, comes with a lot of issues. But I trained as an electrical engineer. Initially, I thought that I wanted to be a pilot. And then something happened. I said, okay, now let me do aeronautical engineering, because I wanted to do something to do it. I was fascinated by planes and all of that. Now it was time to go to the university. Said, like, they don't do aeronautical engineering in any of the universities in Ghana as at the time. I don't know whether they do that now. So I said, the only thing that was closest to it for me was electrical engineering. Someone called it electrical engineering. That's how come I ended up doing that. I never had a dream to become an electrician. that wasn't my dream. But you see, as I moved along and I was apprehended by Christ, I realized that nothing gave me as much fulfillment and satisfaction than the work of the ministry. Especially when I discovered the music things and all of that. Look, I can stand for hours leading a choir, doing rehearsal, teaching song, and all these other things that I started off with. And I don't feel tired. I only feel the tiredness when it is all over. But I can go hours on end doing those things. Then along the line, I discovered the pastoral thing, that there was something inside of me. There's a certain way that I feel for people. And I realized that this thing is not a normal thing. That God has put something in there for me. So the electrical engineering, I threw it somewhere long time ago. My elder brother was very upset with me after I completed university. It's like I was coming, it's like electrical engineer, I'm going to work at a good place, make a lot of money, help to solve some of the family issues and all of that. Went to make arrangements for me to be employed. VRA, ECG, I can't go. Because even at that time, I didn't want to end up working at a place that will draw a lot of my attention and time that I won't have time to do the ministry. Now, you see, some of these mindsets and all of that, they are not natural. Sometimes it is God who places those things there. Yeah. So I knew from that point that the only thing that was going to give me fulfillment were things to do with the ministry. I didn't want to end up in any of this place. There are places that I could have ended up at. Places that I could have. Look, my class, we were just 18. The class of 93, just 18. One of us died along the line. Today, when they graduate from the electrical engineering class, they're about 100 and something, 200 and something. During our time, even before you finish, there are job opportunities waiting for you. I did my national service at Nestle. I remember the time I was doing my service, there was this white guy who came from Switzerland coming to install programmable logic controllers. It's a new kind of technology. And it meant they had to stay for hours after work to do those things. I have to go and do ministry. I can't stay. The guy didn't like me at all. Because I came to do national service. That's all I came to do at this place. Now you want to keep me there. I have to go about my master's business. Look, if God hasn't called you in a certain way, what I did, don't do some. Be sure about your calling. Otherwise, you won't have heaven backing or supporting you. Hey. I was therefore surprised many years after, when somebody I used to work closely with at Nestle told me that after national service, they were looking for me to employ me. And this guy told them that this guy, he won't come. He has another dream, has another vision for his life. After there are things that one can do. But my passion was the ministry. When I told my mother that I want to do ministry, she just smiled and said, I said that this my child, he will be a priest. In the beginning, she was the only one who supported me on that move. And I was okay with that. Because if I had my mother's support, I was okay with everything. I've had ups and downs. I've had challenges. It hasn't been a smooth road. But I know that what I do is what God wants me to do. So I stick with it through the thick and the thin, no matter what comes my way. Ladies and gentlemen, I've shared a number of things with you, and especially with you as mothers. And this last point is about release your child to become what God wants him or her to become. Be observant. Be spiritual. Look at that child closely. See the things. Notice the things about that child. See the things that come easily and naturally. Because often those things are indicative of the person's life work. Life's work. So if you are trying to force the child to become something else, because you also want to be able to say to your friends that, Mabano oye lawyer. Mabano oye doctor. Meanwhile, she's supposed to be a chef. Her life's work is cooking. Cooking. That's her life's work. Now you're forcing her to become a mechanical engineer. What are you doing? Have you been blessed? Let's close today's service. I've talked plenty. Rise to your feet and let's close. Hey, you won't close. Get up and let's close. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that we've learned. Help these things to guide and direct us as we move through life in Jesus' mighty name. And I want to pray for anybody who is here. You don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're not born again. You're not saved. You're not even sure about where you will end up when you die. Maybe you're physically present here, or you may be watching me online. But I want to pray with you today. And if you want to surrender your life to Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior, wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand? And I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. Lift it up very clearly so that I can see. If you're watching me, you're in your room. Yes, I'm not there with you. I can't see you. But the one who sees, Jehovah God, the one who created you, can see you right where you are. You can lift your hand right up there. God bless you. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. For the rest of my life, I will follow him. I will serve him. I will live for him. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for loving me and for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.